إن الحمد لله نحمده تعالى ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليمًا مزيدًا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, from the beauty of the Quran is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us examples from everyday life for us to reflect on. If we were to ask ourselves now, when someone does something that's wrong that they later regret, or if someone is scared or they fear something, many of us tend to do what in this situation? You did something, you regret it. You're scared of something. Many times you'll see that people start to what? Bite on their finger. They start to bite down out of regret, out of fear. I remember one time during an examination in a school, as I was walking through the school, I saw the students, and many of them were biting down on their hands because they hadn't studied, they weren't prepared for the exam. And then when they sat in front of the exam, they saw the waqi, the reality, and the fear and the regret of not being prepared, it hit them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us that example in the Quran and Surah Al-Furqan. وَيَوْمَ يَعَضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَىٰ يَدَيْهِ. The day that the oppressor or the wrongdoer will bite down on his hands. And regret, he's biting down on his hands. What did he do in order to, what are the main things that he regretted? When he's standing there about to be judged, about to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he can see the hellfire in front of him. He's remembering his deeds. What are the most things he's going to regret? And before that, al-dhalim, the wrongdoer, the oppressor. What does it mean to be a dhalim? Is it just the ones who oppress others? Or is it even those who oppress themselves? And the ones who oppress themselves is also a dhalim. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us the different believers. He said, and from them is a dhalim li nafsihi, the one who is the oppressor to himself. The one who is oppressing himself with sins, with shortcomings, with not fulfilling and doing what he should be doing as a Muslim. So all of us fall into the category at some level. And it's very important we hear this type of verse, this type of example of that great day, that yawm, when out of the fear and out of the regret, the people will start to bite down on their hands. وَيَوْمَ يَعَضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَىٰ يَدَيْهِ يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ رَسُولِ سَبِيلًا. Pay attention, my dear brothers, to the verse. The main two things that these people are going to regret, and what all of us here today in the khutbah to reflect on these two things, and what are the status of these two affairs in our own lives, each one of us individually. The first thing that individual is going to regret
يقول يا ليتني اتخذت مع رسولي سبيلا. I wish I took a path with the Rasul, with the Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام. I wish I followed the way of the Rasul. I wish I followed the Sunnah of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. I wish I didn't turn away. Because the Sunnah of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, it is very clear. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, تركتكم على البيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلى هالك. I left you on that which is clear. No one goes away except for the one who has destroyed himself. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم told us, تركت فيكم ما أنت مسكت به لن تضل بعدي كتاب الله وسنتي. And I left behind for you that which if you hold firm to, you will never go astray. The Book of Allah and my Sunnah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it very clear to us all throughout the Quran the status and the importance of the Sunnah and the life of the Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, وَمَنْ يُطِيعَ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهُ. That whoever obeys the Messenger, then he has obeyed Allah. If you obey and follow the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you implement the Sunnah, and the word Sunnah, ya ikhwan, so you understand what the word Sunnah means. It's not just that which is mustahab. Because some things that are wajib and fard upon us, they fall under the category of being Sunnah. Because the Sunnah is the lifestyle, the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some of the things that he commanded us to do, which is from his Sunnah, are fard upon us. And some of the things are mustahab, recommended and praiseworthy. The Sunnah is the lifestyle, the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Throughout the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَأَطِيعُ اللَّهُ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولُ. To obey Allah and to obey the Messenger. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us of the dangers of going against the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَارِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةً أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. And beware those who go away or turn away from his command alayhi salatu wa sallam, the command of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they need to beware that a calamity will overcome them. A fitna. Or a severe punishment. Or perhaps both of them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say to us. If you are a believer, if you say, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, and you believe in it, honestly believe in it, following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is not an option. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. That and know by your Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears that none of us truly believe until they go back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the affairs that they differ amongst. They differ amongst themselves. So we differ upon, reflect on the ayah. If we differ with something amongst ourselves, we have to go back to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is part of our iman. This is the first thing. But there's two other things in the ayah as well. ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ. Then they don't find anything in their hearts about the ruling that was passed. وَيُسَلِّمُ تَسْلِيمَ. The third thing, they submit and they surrender and they follow the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's from the iman that we return to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and that we don't find anything in our hearts if it goes against our desires and what we wanted. And then that we submit and we surrender and we follow. وَيُسَلِّمُ تَسْلِيمَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us in the other verse that it's not optional. It's not optional when it comes to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we're believers, we have to follow it. وما كان لمؤمن ولا مؤمنة إذا قضى الله ورسوله أمرا أن يكون لهم الخيرة من أمرهم. That it's not up to a believing male or female if Allah or His Messenger has passed a ruling that they have the choice in their affairs. وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا. And whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger, then he has clearly gone astray. This is the status of the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran. Allah made it clear to us how much we need the Sunnah and how much we need to implement the Sunnah in our lives. And the hadith of Al-Irbad ibn Sariya radiallahu anhu, which came in Sunan Abi Dawood. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commands us to follow his Sunnah. And he shows us how much we're in need to hold firm to his Sunnah alayhi salatu wa salam. He said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, عليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين من بعدي عضوا عليها بالنواجذ. SubhanAllah. He said alayhi salatu wa salam, it's upon you to follow my Sunnah and the Sunnah of the Khulafa Rashideen, the rightfully guided caliphs who come after me. And then look what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. He said, عضوا عليها بالنواجذ. Bite down on it with your molar teeth. That's how hard you need to have tamassuk. That's how hard you're holding on to the Sunnah needs to be. You bite down onto it. If you're in a fight and somebody's got you down on the ground, and the only thing you can do, you don't have access to your hands, you can't do anything, you bite. Huh? You reach out and bite, grab it with all of your might. That's all you have. Hold on that tight to the Sunnah. Don't let go. This is the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in this ayah, when the zalim, the oppressor, bites down on his hand, the first thing that he's going to regret is not following the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All of us need to ask ourselves, what is the status of the Sunnah in our lives? If you look in the lives of the Sahaba, the Sunnah for them was a major thing. Because sometimes you hear the thing, yeah, it's just Sunnah, it's not that big of a deal, right? Just Sunnah. We said, but there's some things from the Sunnah that are hard, pay attention. But even something that's small, how did the Sahaba look at it? Did they want to say why this, why that? Or did they just implement and follow the Sunnah right away? And the Sunnah of Abi Dawood, it was narrated from the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, that they were praying with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And during the salat, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he removed his sandals and put them on the left side. They used to pray in their shoes. It's a sunnah, huh? Forgotten sunnah. Don't do it in the masjid on the carpet, inshallah. Do it outside another place. This is a sunnah. So they're praying in their shoes. And he removed the shoes, alayhi salatu wasalam, in the salat. All of the sahaba behind them, what did they do right away? All of them came and they removed their sandals as well. Following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, everything. Something that's small. And they looked at going against the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as being a major crime. Think about your son and how much you love your son. All of us love our children. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, when they were relaying the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا تمنعوا إماء الله مساجد الله. Do not forbid the Muslim ladies from praying in the masjid. You're not allowed, it's a clear hadith. If they want to come to the masjid, they're wearing proper hijab and they're fine, bismillah, let them come. You have no right to forbid them from coming to the masjid. His son Bilal said, the son of who? The son of Abdullah ibn Umar. His father's Abdullah ibn Umar. His grandfather's Umar. He said, out of jealousy over the women, because he saw some of the things he didn't like from the sisters, he said, Wallahi, he will forbid them from coming to the masjid. His father said to him, I tell you, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it, and you say that you're going to forbid them? He said, Wallahi, I'll never talk to you again. The narrator of the hadith said that until Bilal died, his father never spoke to him. To teach him a lesson, and to teach the ummah a lesson of the dangers of going away and turning away from the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Sahabi Abdullah ibn Mughaffal radiallahu anhu, when he narrated the hadith to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he forbid us from flicking the pebbles with the fingers like this, flicking the pebbles and playing like some kids do. He said, you can't kill an animal with it. You can't harm your enemy with it. Only thing you're going to do is poke someone's eye out or harm someone else. So the Prophet, he forbid this. And after he relayed the hadith, he found one of his relatives still flicking the pebbles, not listening to the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, wallah, he said, I'll never speak to you again. Going against the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this hadith is in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. Imam Malik, rahimahullah ta'ala, said something very beautiful that all of us need to reflect on and reflect on the reality of our own lives about the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, As-sunnah safinat Nuh, that the sunnah is like the ark of Nuh alayhi salam. Man rakibaha naja wa man rafada halak, that whoever gets on it, he will be saved. And whoever refuses, then he will destroy himself. He will drown. This is the reality of the ones who turn away from the sunnah. This is the first thing in the ayah. The second thing which came in the ayah after that, Surah Al-Furqan, of the second thing that they're going to regret, those people biting down onto their hands, they're going to say, after they say, Ya laytani ittakhadtu ma'a rasuli sabila, ya waylata, laytani lam attakhidh fulanan khalila. Woe to me, I wish I didn't take so and so as a friend. Regrets not following the sunnah, not making it part of his life. Regrets the friends that he kept in this dunya. Woe to me, I wish I didn't take so and so as my friend. Why, what did he do to you that you're regretting so much on this great day as you're about to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be judged? He says, لَقَدْ أَضَلَّنِي عَنِ الذِّكْرِ بَعْدَ إِجَاءَنِ. He made me go astray from the dhikr, from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after it came to me. All of us need to reflect as we listen to this. Who are the people that we have around us? Are they people that, alhamdulillah, when we come to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we're going to be happy that we took them as our friends? Or are they going to be the people that make us bite down on our hands out of regret that we took them as our friends? The Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam focused in detail on the issue of who you befriend. It was narrated in the Sunnah and the Sunan of Abu Dawud and At-Tirmidhi that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Al-mar'u ala dini khalilihi falyanzur ahadukum man yukhalil. That the person is on the religion of his friend, so beware of who you befriend. And pay attention to the wording of this hadith. He didn't just say he's influenced by him. He has an effect on him. He said he's on the deen, on the religion. That's how much your friend influences you. And you have the famous Arab phrase where they say, As-sahibu sahib. The sahib with sad is the friend. And sahib means he's a puller, he pulls. He pulls you either in a good direction or in a bad direction. Your friend is either pulling you with him to Jannah or he's pulling you with him to Jahannam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. But this is the reality of the friend. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith, which also came and was narrated in the Sunan of Abu Dawud and Sunan of At-Tirmidhi, he said, لا تصاحب إلا مؤمنا ولا يأكل طعامك إلا تقي. Do not befriend except for a believer. And no one should eat from your food unless he is taqi, unless he is pious. Only befriend the believer, and the one who eats from your food should be the one who is pious. Why did he mention alayhi salatu wasalam, the one who eats from your food? Because that is your inner circle. Those are the ones who are closest with you. When I come and I invite somebody to have dinner with me or lunch with me after Jummah, do I invite everybody in the masjid? Not that kareem, alhamdulillah. I invite a few other brothers maybe, the ones who are close to me, I'm gonna go out and eat with them. That's how all of us are. And some of the researchers say that if you look at, you wanna know who you are, who are you? Look at the closest five people around you. Your closest five friends, they're a reflection of who you are. If you're lazy, most likely those five friends are lazy too. If you have a bad job, they most likely have a bad job too. If you're nus-nus in your deen, you're half-half, on both sides of the fence, a little halal and haram, you're going to find that most likely those five friends are the same. If you're somebody who's serious about your deen, you're going to find that those five friends most likely are serious about their deen. So you have to be careful of who you befriend. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hadith which came in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, he told us alayhi salatu wa salam, the example. He gives a beautiful example of the good friend and the bad friend. He said it's like the hamil al-misk wa nafiq al-kir, which is the one who sells the musk and the blacksmith. When it comes to the good friend, he's the example of the one who is the businessman, the one who sells the musk. What are you going to gain from him if you hang out with him? In the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions three things. He said either he's going to give you some. He's going to give you a gift. He's out making his sales. He said, Akhi, bismillah, take one for you as a gift. You go home from there, free of charge. Because you hang out with him, he gave you one for free. Or he's going to sell it to you. That's the second thing. And if he sells it to you, he's your friend, what's going to happen? You're going to get a discount. Maybe 50% off. Maybe you get the clearance stuff for even cheaper. He'll give it to you. He said, I bought it for 30 pounds. You can have it for 30 pounds. You get a deal. The third thing he said you're going to get from him, he said, or at least you're going to smell good. Because he's giving samples to people. You're getting a sample too. So at least you're going to smell good by hanging around him. You're going to have a good influence. Alhamdulillah. This is the good friend. As for the blacksmith, what do you get when you hang around him? One of two things, as it came in the hadith. Either he's going to burn your clothes, or you're going to have a bad smell. And this is the reality of the friends and the people you keep around you. And that's why it's very important when we go home today, my dear brothers and sisters, that we reflect on these two issues. These two things mentioned in these ayat, of the two main things that those who oppress themselves, when they are standing there in regret and fear, Yawm al-Qiyamah, that they will regret not following the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not making it part of their life, not making it their way in life. And secondly, they will regret the friends and the people that they kept around them. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'ani wa sunnah wa nafa'ani wa iyaakum. My dear brothers and sisters, and the second part of today's khutbah, I want to share with you some numbers. All of us see on the news what is happening to our brothers and our sisters in Burma, in Myanmar. Many of us don't know the history of this country and the reality of these great people. If you go to Mecca and you spend some time in Mecca, you'll realize how great the people of Burma are. You'll realize when you see that sometimes the majority of those who are teaching and the halaqat and the Quran circles and the Quran lessons, they're from Burma. You'll find sometimes you even think that all of them have memorized the Quran. That's how many of them have memorized the Quran. The great scholar and the great qari, who all of us know and love, Sheikh Muhammad Ayyub rahimahullah ta'ala, who passed away recently, a few years back in Medina, who was the Imam of the Masjid al-Nabawi. Where was he from? He was from Burma. These numbers that I'm about to share with you are only from the first 10 days of the recent events. This is from a khutbah I gave a few weeks ago in Ireland. When this event happened, and we looked at the statistics and the numbers, when this recent event, which has been going on for more than 5 years now, it's not something new. Alhamdulillah, a lot of the even non-Muslims, from reporters, all of them are talking about this reality, that the issue and the crisis in boredom, it's not something that happened on the 25th of August. It's been going on for 5 years. But the people have been what? Just letting it slide and letting it slide. We have the one who won the Nobel Peace Prize, the peacemaker. She's a great person, the Prime Minister, bismillah. And things are happening. Nobody seems to care. 5 years. But now, what's happened since the 25th of August, it's getting worse and worse. So look at these numbers, which was just 10 days, the first 10 days only. More than 6,300 people massacred. More than 8,400 injured. More than 500 women raped. More than 100 villages burnt down. More than 23,000 houses burnt down. More than 335,000 displaced, and now they're saying it's over 400,000 in these days. And they had at that time 190,000 displaced on the borders of Bangladesh trying to get in, running for their lives. 250 mosques destroyed. 80 schools destroyed. Those were the numbers of the first 10 days. So you can imagine now what those numbers must be like. As the crisis continues and nothing seems to be happening, the question comes, what is our role? What can we do? There's a lot we can do. And the khutbah I gave, I talked for 20 minutes about the most and the best solution, which is for all of us to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the punishment that we're in and being humiliated as a nation, as an ummah, it's because all of us have turned away from our deen. Very few of us practice our deen. We're not serious about our deen. When the cure is very clear, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, in tansur Allah, yansurkum. Oh, you believe, if you support Allah, Allah will support you. But we don't want to support Allah. We don't want to support Islam. But we want the solution to come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't work like that. And look, read through history and you'll see what I'm talking about. Then what else can we do? Politically, social media, all of these are solutions to get involved with our local politicians. And alhamdulillah, in the West, many of them have spoken out. Many of them have fantastic stances. So us as a Muslim community, it's important that we stand with them and that we get the word out and we put pressure on the Myanmar government to stop these slaughterings and massacres that they're doing to the Rohingya Muslims there. Also from the things that we have in our hand is the dua. And never forget, ya akhwan, the power of dua. We tend to forget. But wallahi, our brothers have told us in the past in these areas who are afflicted with these calamities and these crises, that during Ramadan, pay attention, Ramadan, what's happening? We're returning to our deen in Ramadan. We're good Muslims in Ramadan. And we're serious about our dua in Ramadan. They say, wallahi, we feel the impact in Ramadan of the dua of the Muslims for us. You can see the change on the ground. So don't underestimate the power of dua. And the last thing that we need to focus on is giving sadaqah for our brothers, inshaAllah. And I'm not going to stand here now at the end of the khutbah and tell you a bunch of ayat and a bunch of hadith about sadaqah, because all of you know. I'll mention one hadith. One hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in just two words. When he said, وَصَدَقَةُ burhan, that the sadaqah, it's burhan, it's evidence of your iman. If you're a true believer, you're going to give for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why in the Quran, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. These are the true believers, the ones who give the time of ease and the time of difficulty. Alhamdulillah, the brothers have informed me that they will be fundraising
here today.
Honestly, this is the first time I've ever visited you guys here in Milton Keynes. I don't know how generous the masjid is. But inshallah ta'ala, I have husn al-dhan that the brothers will stand up. Those numbers that you heard, remember that could have been our families. In fact, they are our families because they're our brothers and sisters. Just because we don't have a close relationship in our lineage doesn't mean they're not our families. Those are our children. Those are our brothers. Those are our sisters who are being slaughtered and massacred. We could have been in the same situation, but we're not. So that's why, inshallah ta'ala, I want everybody, as you're leaving today, to give as much as you can, inshallah ta'ala. And I want to make a challenge here on the minbar. I want to challenge at least 100 brothers to pay a minimum of 50 pounds. 100 brothers, inshallah. I think you guys have about 700, 800. It's only about an eighth of the people. And don't put hands up now, inshallah. I'm going to start, inshallah ta'ala. So you don't think I'm just encouraging you. I'm going to start, inshallah ta'ala. Here's my 50 pounds. I put it aside. I want 100 brothers, inshallah ta'ala, to meet me with this. So that's a minimum of 5,000. Inshallah, that we have for our brothers and sisters, inshallah ta'ala, as we leave today. And I know that we have some brothers here that are better than me. They're iman is stronger than me. They're going to give more than, inshallah, 50 pounds. And some say, look, I don't have it. It doesn't matter, yaki, whatever you have, even the little change you have in your wallet, even a 5 or 10 or whatever it is, alhamdulillah, it's all khair, it's all barakah. Give as much as you can, inshallah ta'ala, for your brothers and sisters, inshallah ta'ala, in Burma. ثم يعلم رحمه الله وإياكم أن الله قد أمركم بأمر بدأ به بنفسه ثم ثنى بملائكة الكرام فقال عز وجل إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما ويقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من صلى علي بواحدة صلى الله عليها بعشرة اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وأنعم على نبينا محمد وارض اللهم عن الخلفاء الراشدين أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وسائر الصحابة أجمعين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين